We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Focus somewhere else today. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Pastor Kevin Aiken.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, man, fired up and powered up.
Come on now. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue. If you would like to be entered to win for the book this month, the book for this month's giveaway is A City on Our Knees by Toby Mack. If you want to be entered for that book, all you have to do is like the program, share the program, and then comment done in the comments. Even if it's not this hour, even if it's at midnight, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, yeah. It's okay.
Just go and share it.
Yeah.
Go just, and find it.
Just still
it.
Do it. We will get a notification, and you will be entered to win.
Amen.
You will be added to the wheel. That's it.
I love it. That's a great book, by the way. So it is good. Yeah, it's good.
Would you please pray to start us
Let's
out?
Let's do. Let's open up. Father God, we love you so much. God, there's just there's no way to measure how much you love us and how much we love you back. God, we ask you today just to begin to minister and open up the heart so that we can receive and retain all that you give for us today. God, we totally surrender to you. God, this is your plan and your ways. And this next few minutes, God, let it just enrich our lives with your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I like your title, Qualities of Love.
Yeah. You know, today's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I hope you got a little gift from your loved one so that everything works out great that way. So fantastic. Got a little plan made for my sweetheart a little later. She's at work, so she doesn't get to watch. So don't call and tell her, okay?
Right now.
Don't text her. Don't let her know. No surprise coming up. So everything will be good. Hey, listen, let's think about love for just a minute, all right? I'm going to talk a lot about love. I want you to hear about love. Today's world is so confused about the real meaning of love and what love is. And if you don't believe that, find a way, get permission from a teacher at school and go to the nearest high school and just sit in two or three classes in a high school class, and you will see the distorted view of love. If you don't think love is messed up, just watch TV for a little while and you'll see the distorted view of love. Whew, I'm going to touch on this. This will probably get comments, but this is the way it goes. If you don't think the word love is messed up, watch the halftime show of Super Bowl. You know, I had to throw it out there just a little bit. It's all messed up. It's not what the Bible says, what the scripture says. So today's title is Qualities of Love, and that is shortened so much because what I really wanted it to be is spiritual qualities of love or biblical qualities of love or godly qualities of love. I mean, there's a word that goes in front of that, but then I thought, you know, it doesn't matter how you describe it any other way. Love for God is still love. It's man that distorts it. So if you're going to put qualities of love, then you got to be saying quality of God's love. And that's what Paul was really talking about. Paul comes in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, 13, and 14. And this is a dilemma. This is a pastor's nightmare. And the reason you'll understand why I'm saying this in just a minute. And Paul comes in and he looks at what's going on in the Corinthian church. And he actually says, this is awesome. This is so cool. You guys have picked up on supernatural, spiritual gifts that only God gives. And they're really great that you guys are using them. The problem is that y'all are using them in the wrong way. And so we got to regroup and we got to figure out how to work these gifts out in the right way. Now, if I'm not careful, I realize that all the different denominations and all the different faith-based organizations, the different believers, the non-denominationals, the interdenominationals, all of the body of Christ has a tendency to look at chapter 12, 13, and 14, and they see it differently. So I'm asking you today just to listen to me with an open mind. I don't study all of the other branches of God's army. I don't try to say that I know their ways or to know their theologies or directions of which they go. I'm just speaking from some of my training and some of my ways. And so please be patient with me when you hear this, okay? Let's start. First of all, I want to mention two verses of Scripture. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse number 8. If I can make my computer work. Verse number 8. I want you to see this. Love never fails. Never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. This is where some people think right there. They go, no, I'm not listening to this. And boop, they click me off. Don't click it off yet. Listen to this. This is Scripture. You can't argue with this. This is the Bible, and we need to understand what it means. So the next one that I want you to see is this one, verse 13. Go to verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And when you look at verse 13 and you refer back to verse number 8, now abide a faith. Love never fails, verse 8, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, that's by faith. Whether there are tongues, whether they cease, the knowledge, there's knowledge is going to vanish away. All of this stuff is going to fade. But look, we have the faith, we have the hope, and we have the love in it all. But without that love, nothing else has the tendency to work. Let me give some background. Let me start with this subject, okay? In this passage, this scripture tells us the greatest gifts that are out there. It talks about all the spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, we could list the spiritual gifts. In chapter 14, we could talk about the purposes of those spiritual gifts. But today, I want to talk about love, the subject of love. There's so many songs written about love. I mean, if we all sat down, we were to think about it, yeah. There's a couple of songs that they don't play anymore on the radio that I know Kendra and I listened to when we were back in high school, and they were our love songs. You know, that's our song. We have that when I still have them on recordings. I have them on CD, on disc, and have them on my computer now too. And when times get tough and your marriage gets a little bit rocky, I go back to those songs and I click on those songs and remind myself, this is why I love this girl. Because I loved her from the start, because I love what God did, you know, and it's those kind of things. It's love. Songs have written about it. Poetry's written about it. Come on, did we ever not write a poem to somebody that we love? We all have those funny little poems that we write. But here was a neat fact. I found this very interesting. Just researched this a little bit recently. Two things. The first, did you know there's actually a phobia for a fear of falling in love? It's actually diagnosed psychologically, a fear of falling in love. They have a fear of that, and so they avoid falling in love. Now, they know how to show love to a puppy. They know how to show love to a child. They know how to show love and kindness to somebody, but they're not going to fall in love with somebody. It's called philophobia, and it's actually a phobia that's out there that people have a fear of falling in love. And I just want to say this gently as I possibly can. If you struggle with relationships and you struggle with true intimacy with somebody, you probably have a fear of falling in love. And if that is in there, it can be helped. But if there is a philophobia in you, think about the struggle that you're having truly loving God or loving Jesus. If you can't love fellow man, then there's no way that you're going to love Jesus. So think about that. Here's another one. This through research, I found this interesting. This is a Google research. 14 billion 850 million searches every day for love. That's a search for love every second of the day. A new search comes in. And searching for love, there's an old country song, Searching for Love in All the Wrong Places. It's so funny how many people nod their head and go, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, it's because it was very popular. Why? What made it so popular? Because everybody went, that's true. That's true. Was searching for love in all the wrong places. But Paul comes back in 1 Corinthians and he says, let me give you some lessons. Let me give you some tips. Let me give you some point of views. Because in everything that you do, you need love. You've got to have love in there. I'm going to set the context up real quick and take just a minute. It won't take me very long. And then I'm going to get into some really touch stuff. I love how Paul writes. First of all, the context of all this Corinthian church was having problems with their spiritual gifts. They knew what they were. They knew how to basically title them. They knew how to arrange them, but they didn't know how to make them work. There was a process that was taking place, and they began to proceed farther and further into it, and they knew that the spirit gift was all coming from the same spirit. And this is what Paul tells them in Corinthians chapter 12. He said, all of these gifts are great, and they all come from the same spirit. These are all part of the one. They're all part of the whole, and that's what makes them complete. Corinthian church had a tendency of prioritizing and making one particular gift a greater priority than the other particular gift. And I know that so many denominations do that today. They consider this one to be of higher priority than that one, or that one to be higher priority than this one. And that's Paul saying that's not the important part of this. In chapter 12 also, it tells us that out of all these spiritual gifts, they have one major purpose, and that purpose is to benefit the whole body. It's the whole body that's going to take place. And that's how come Paul was able to come back in chapter 13, later we're going to see it again, where he comes back and he says, these things are great, but these stuff's going to fail. One out of this is not going to fail. All this other stuff will fade in and out. Everything else about this, you will question. Everything else about this, you will have to apply to your life. But this one thing is going to remain, and that one thing is love. And I want to tell you, the world today wants to try everything it can to distort the real true meaning of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the last part of chapter 12, the last part, he says these very critical words. And I want to read them to you because I want you to hear them. In verse number 28, 29, 30, and 31, all right? So hear the word of God. Hear what he says. He says, God has appointed these in the church. God appointed these. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. So he's setting in order the pastor. He's setting in order the spiritual leaders. He's setting in order the teachers. Then he says, then once those are in place, then comes miracles. And then gifts of healings and helps and administrations and variety of tongues. All right. He puts all of this and he's saying, are these in these orders? Well, the first part of it, he's put in orders first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers. And then after that comes all these other miracles. And then in verse 29, he said, but think, are all apostles? No. If they were all apostles, then he would say God built a church out of all apostles. He didn't say that. He said God built a church, and first he put apostles into place, and then he put prophets into place, and then teachers, and then miracles. He said, but are all of this? No. Verse 30, do all have the gift of healings? No. Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts. I love this. Verse 31, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, the way that Paul does this is just fascinating to me, because I'm gonna take you back just a little bit. I'm going to look at the last verse of chapter 12, first verse of 31, and I'm just setting you up, so hang on with me and just bear with me. He said, earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. In other words, Paul takes all of that chapter 12 and tells us all these gifts, and then in chapter 13, he automatically changes and says, you can have all of that in great detail and really do a great job with it, but if you don't have love, then it's nothing. If you don't have love in there, then it's not going to amount to anything. If you don't have love in there, it's not going to do what it's set out to do. There is a limitation to the gifts. I know this upsets people when I say it. I'm not saying it to upset anybody. I'm telling you the truth. The gifts are God. They are not limited to who they can go to. They are not limited of how they can be used or who can use them. The only thing that limits them is the basis of love that wraps around them. If you have a gift of healing, but yet you don't have love, then you're not giving the gift of healing. You're trying to control God and saying, I will pray over that one, but I'm not going to pray over this one. I'll share my gift with this one, not going to share my gift with that one. There's no love, then it's not God. It's not God. And so many different churches have, wow, so many different churches have ruined this because they try to justify their actions through some means of spiritual terminology. But that spiritual terminology gets wronged when the people start saying, this is man's way of doing it. This is my way of doing it. These are our rules. These are our regulations. And there is no love behind it, then it's wrong. Without love, you can't edify your brother. If you're not going to edify your brother, then you cannot use the spiritual gifts, because every spiritual gift is designed to benefit the body of Christ. It is designed to benefit the church. Whew, got a little hot there, okay? Do you get that? I mean, even if you were to go to chapter 14, you're going to see that the gifts have a purpose. In chapter 14, I don't remember if it was verse 12. I don't remember exactly where it's at. It may be verse 26, where he says that the purpose of these gifts are for edification. The purpose of tongues is for edification. The purpose of interpretation is for edification. The purpose for healing is for edification. It's not to prove that you're better than somebody else. It's not to prove that you're different than somebody else. It's not to prove that we have a greater denomination than that denomination. Because the minute you start doing that, there's no love in the picture. And if there's no love in the picture, then it's sounding brass. You're just clanging a cymbal. You're not making any difference. Whew. Somebody say, I love my pastor. And that's the easy part. This is Paul teaching this, and he's saying you've got to exercise. You got to exercise the love in order to exercise the spiritual gifts. You have to practice love in order to make the spiritual gifts unlimited. Love is what makes the difference. So here we go. All right, I'm at good time right here. I want you to hear. Let's look at what Paul says love really is. I'm going back to chapter 13. And I'm going to read to you. There's only 13 verses in chapter 13. That's a good way to remember it. 13:13. Okay, so it's not going real deep, but I want you to listen to these words, and I'm going to try everything I can to make it through without elaborating on the way it goes. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits nothing. There's so many people today that keep sacrificing to God, and they give and they give and they give, but then they hate a member of their family, or they hate somebody in another church, or they hate a person because of what they did for them, and that hate has festered, and it has moved love out of their heart. And I just want to look at them and say, please think about what you're doing. Please, you're really hurting yourself, sacrificing all this to what you think is the body of Christ. But the problem is, it amounts to nothing because you don't have love in your heart. Oh, yes, I do. I love this person, but I don't love this person. That's not love. I said I was going to make it through this. That's not love. It's not love. Look at this. All right, here, and then here he goes, verse 4. And I'm going to come back to each one of these. See how many you count. See how we go. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Let me go back to Paul's teaching and let me break this down. You've heard the whole chapter, 13 chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Here we go. The real meaning, the real qualities of love. It is necessary for us to have love, for without love, we're nothing. It is necessary that we exercise with great sacrifice and great determination love, because without love, if we don't have love, it profits nothing. Doesn't matter how much you give to charity, if you give without love, it amounts to nothing. There's no benefit behind it. So Paul begins to illustrate what love really is. Here's the true qualities of love. Now, I've said all that. That's part of my introduction. Here comes my sermon. How many did you count? How many different ones did you count in there? This is what I counted, 15. So I have 15 points in this sermon. There's no way I'm getting done in 30 minutes. 30 minutes is in trouble. We can do part three if we need to. Here we go. Here we go. Think about it. Keep going. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's break it down. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse number 4. Check this out. Here's the qualities of love. Number one, it suffers long. Man, we need to love this. Whew, I'm going to say it. It may offend somebody, but I'm going to say it. True quality of love is not a one-night stand.
Come on.
Not going to happen.
Come on.
Not there. You got to get that in your mind. I know I'm speaking to somebody that understands that. Some people in the church were like, what? What do you mean by that? But I know some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. This is not a fling. This is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time stand. It suffers long. That's how come marriages are difficult. They're hard. But love, true love, suffers through it. It endures the rights. It endures the wrongs. It waits patiently for what's about to take place. It waits patiently for what's going to come. This is such a symbol of God, and that's how come Paul listed it number one. I tell you what, my mind, who wrote the song? That was way back in the early 70s, maybe in the late 60s. Love Hurts, you know? Mm. And I can't remember the rock group that put that out. Love Hurts. It's true. Love hurts. True love hurts because it waits. It suffers long. God says this. Actually, the psalmist put this in Psalms 103, verse 8, I believe. It says that God is slow to anger, but he is abounding in mercy. And what does that mean? It means that God is full of love. And that's what God is. God is love. And he knows how to suffer long. He suffered long with us. We suffer long when love comes along. Look at the second one, the second word in this. Love is kind. What does it mean that love is kind? It's obliging. It's willing to help. It's willing to assist somebody else. Whew, somebody going to get mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't understand people that tell me today, I don't need the church. I do just fine. I worship outside the church. I do my own thing. I listen to my own devotion. I do my own will. So you're sitting at home or you're walking at home or you're driving in your truck, you're measuring on with your life, whatever you want to do, but you're not willing to help somebody else that's struggling. I want to tell you what, church is filled with people that are struggling. And if your church is not filled with people that are struggling, maybe you consider another church. There you go. We got to think about that. A church is a love place where it says, I know you're hurting. I know you're struggling. I don't have the answers. I don't have I don't have the expenses to pay your way out of it, but I do have love, and I do care for you, and I want to be willing to help. I want to be willing to assist you. I want to be able to take you to the next place. Love does not envy. I know I feel like I'm going through these fast, but I want you to get this. Love does not envy. It is not jealous of what others have or what others have become. It does not compare with somebody else. I tell you, I as a pastor, I hear it. I know it's in my church. I know it's in other churches. And I'm speaking to the people out there today that are trying to be good Christians. Stop comparing yourself to people on the platform. Stop comparing yourself to other teachers. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. You be you. Love you. Take on the consideration, I'm doing this for the kingdom of God. I'm doing this for the love of God. Stop trying to compare your life with somebody else's life. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Boy, I'm just putting a lot of stops in here, ain't I? Stop this, stop that, stop that. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not set itself up against somebody else. That's the next one. Love does not parade itself. Love does not brag or boast or point out its own abilities or its own possessions. I want to speak very kindly for just a moment. When I read this, it does not parade itself. Here is a lie that is out in the world today, and I want to highlight the lie. The lie says that you have to have a real pretty body or expose your body in order to get somebody to love you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to cross a line just a little while, but just bear with me. Ladies, you do not have to expose your body to get a guy to like you. That is just a brief moment. He will only like you for what he sees. He will never love you for what's inside of you. If you want a guy to love you, then cover yourself up and be yourself. Let your smile, let your attitude, let your life show and be the example for them to love. Guys, same way. You know, the multi-million dollar business today are the athletic clubs. Nothing wrong. We need to stay in good health. I'm all for that. That's great. Those are good. But there's a lot of people that are going to these athletic clubs, these athletic places, and they're working out and they're building all this stuff just so they can highlight their body to try to get somebody to love them. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't have to parade that out and about. It's not about that. Love does not brag or boast. That falls into the same category of people saying, I gave $1,000 to help somebody out because I truly love them. No, you don't have to brag. Love is best kept secret on the inside. Love is better known for that secret side in there. Love is number five. Number five, love is not puffed up. Uh-oh, somebody just said five already? Yeah, here we go. It suffers long. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. Number five, it is not puffed up. It is not infected. Come on. It's not ruined. True love is not, it doesn't stink. Whew.
Come on.
True love is not wrapped up with a lot of worldly disgusting things. Love is not pornography. Love is not vulgarity. Love is not nastiness. Man, can you believe that a pastor has to say these things from behind a pulpit these days? But it's true. Love is not puffed up. It's not swelled. It's not pride. It's not taking some vain, conceited mindset to say that you love greater than... in marriages, I love greater than he loves me, or I love greater than she loves me, or I show him love all the time and he never shows me love back. Well, if you married a teenager, that's the problem. He's not going to till he turns 40. Forget it. That's the way it is. Get over it. It's love, all right? Don't compare. Don't do it. Don't let it puff up. Don't let it be swelled. Don't let it be nasty. Let it be real, true, passionate love for one another. Number six, love does not behave rudely. I'm going to pick on the old people. I've been picking on the young people. And right here's where some people go, well, he called me old. Well, just deal with it for a minute, would you? because it happens so bad. And it's not just the old people. Young people are doing it too. It's a onslaught against our world today. People's mindsets and vocabulary just want to be rude. If it's not good for me, then I don't care and I'm going to be rude about it. You go to a restaurant and you get a little bit of bad service and you just want to be rude. You want to be rude to them and you want everybody around you to know that you had bad service. And so you get up and yell. Love is not rude. How can you show the love of Christ towards somebody that had been on their feet all day long? They've been spit on. They've been thrown at. And I'm talking about your server. Yep, I'm talking about it because I've seen it happen even in restaurants right where I am. Be nice to those people serving you. They don't have to serve you. And that's probably why you're getting bad service, because they're not wanting to serve you, because there is no love there. Why is there no love there? Because you're rude. Stop being rude. Old people, please stop being rude. It does not justify you. Well, I've lived through this all my life, and then I'm just this. That's just the way that I am. If you ever have to say, you're just going to have to get used to me, I'm just rude that way, then you have no love in you. Hear me very carefully in your heart. If there's no love in your heart, how can you have Christ in your heart? How can you have God in your heart? Love is not rude. You don't have the right to be rude. Love is not rude. I looked that word up. I tried to divide it. I tried to come up with a different word. I tried to see what he really meant in Greek. What is Paul really saying in the Greek language right here? And you know what it came back every time? Rude. 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 We all know what rude is, and we know what rude means. And some people probably right now are posting saying, boy, he's pretty rude with the way he's talking. I'm saying it out of love. I'm telling you, pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to your words. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be rude. Matter of fact, I can tell you this. I'm gonna give you a scripture today right here in the middle of this. And this is 1 Peter chapter 3. Check this out. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, okay? And this goes right along with behaving in an unbecoming manner. This is finding yourself in an unseemly incident and you just want to justify your own actions. This is Peter. If anybody understood what it meant to be rude, Peter did, because he was rude in times. And we have actual recording in the Bible of where he was rude when he looked at Jesus and said, oh, no, you're not doing that. I am. Jesus had to look at him and go, dude, I'm the Son of God. You can't tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Peter was rude. Look at what he said. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. He said, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or rivaling for rivaling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. What is Peter saying? He's saying, be nice. Would you love one another? Because if you're not loving one another, then there's no love inside of you. He's like, quit trying to be the boss of everybody else. Quit trying to be so bossy. Quit trying to do that. Quit being rude. Quit trying to say, well, I'm in charge. Quit trying to say, if it's not benefiting me. This all came about just several years ago. The big highlight was, what's in it for me? Every business was in it. What's in it for me? How can I make the most? How can I do the most? What's in it for me? Every concept was, this is how you get self-control over yourself. Say to yourself, what's in it for me? And then go after what's in it for you. It's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't be rude. Be nice. Be compassionate. All right. Let me go two more.